Good morning and welcome to this service from St Andrew's and St George's West Church in the heart of Edinburgh. My name is Matthew Bickett and I'm delighted to have been invited to lead the worship this morning. You will find the order of service on the website and you're invited to join in the singing and in the responses which are in bold print. Taking part in this service with me are the choir of St Andrew's and St George's West, and the vocal ensemble comprise Eleanor Cousins, Eleanor Wilson, Caitlin McGillivray, Drew Crichton, Tim Cooper and Andrew Carvell. Piano accompaniment is by Drew Crichton. The service was produced by Andrew Carvell. The scripture reading is read by Andrina Crawford and the prayers of intercession are led by Alison Bruce and Jane Brown. And so let us worship God. Please join me in the call to worship by responding with the words in bold print. In the times of trouble, when all seemed hopeless, I cried out to God, and the Lord heard my pleas and answered me. When I felt lost and alone, I looked for God, and God found me and brought me home. When my life was filled with joy and blessing, I danced and praised God, and God danced and rejoiced with me. Thanks be to God. We sing our opening hymn, number 166, Lord of All Hopefulness.
Lord of all hopefulness, Lord of all joy, whose trust ever childlike no cares could destroy, be there at our waking and give us, we pray, your bliss in our hearts, Lord, at the break of the day. Lord of all eagerness, Lord of all faith, whose strong hands were skilled at the plane and the lathe, be there at our labours and give us, we pray, your strength in our hearts, Lord, at the noon of the day. Lord of all kindliness, Lord of all grace, your hands swift to welcome, your arms to embrace, be there at our homing and give us, we pray, your love in our hearts, Lord, at the eve of the day. Lord of all gentleness, Lord of all calm, whose voice is contentment, whose presence is balm, be there at our sleeping and give us, we pray, your peace in our hearts, Lord, at the end of the day.
And let us pray. Eternal Spirit of life, in Jesus Christ you revealed the fulfilling potential of love. Draw close to each of us this day as we offer worship and praise. We are created in your image, and in Christ we are taught that our potential is only realized by receiving and by giving the gift of love. We are seekers after God, who in our journeying need constantly to be reminded that all around us are signs of your abundant love.
Lord, have mercy, Lord, have mercy.
In the strangest of places are you to be found, in the lives and loves, in the pain and the pleasures, in weakness and in strength, in wealth and poverty. Forgive us if we have looked for you in the wrong places. Forgive us if we have listened to the wrong voices. Forgive us if we have followed the wrong pathways.
Christ have mercy, Christ have mercy, Christ have mercy.
Touch us by your Spirit and alert us to the wonder and mystery of your love. Use that power within us and around us to direct our seeking, to sharpen our hearing, and to follow willingly in the pathway of Jesus of Nazareth. Continue with us in our worship, blessing us and enabling us by your power to be a blessing to others.
Lord, have mercy.
May your Spirit lead our searching, guide our listening, and keep our feet firmly in the footsteps of Jesus. We join in the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to chapter 10, verse 8. Jesus goes out to proclaim the good news and heal the sick and the lost. He then gives authority to his disciples to do likewise. Then Jesus went out about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the labourers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out labourers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaan, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. May God bless this reading to his holy name. Amen.
Think of us.
I have always liked readings where the names of the first group of disciples are mentioned. I remember reading a book my mother had on her bookshelf called The Master's Men, written by Professor William Barclay. It gave us much more information about the 12, even those about whom we only know their names from the gospel records. I wonder what these men thought when Jesus said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore pray to the Lord of the harvest to send labourers out into his harvest." You can almost hear them saying, "Who? Me? You can't mean me, surely. I'm quite happy being part of your group, but to become a labourer amongst the crowds? I don't think so." And then we are told, "He called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority." Authority to do the exact same thing that Jesus himself was doing. Drive out the unclean spirits, heal diseases and afflictions, proclaim the gospel of the kingdom which is at hand. Why did Jesus pick them of all people? Is it because they were such great people? Obviously not. Four are fishermen with little formal or theological training. One is a traitor to his own people, making a living collecting taxes for Caesar from them. And all of them just followed Jesus around wherever he went, instead of having jobs and providing for their families. Is it because God knew how great they would become, although perhaps Judas would not become so great? And how much do we really know about some of these disciples, except who they're not? Simon, the one not called Peter. James, not the son of Zebedee. Judas, who so didn't want to be associated with Judas Iscariot that he went by Thaddeus instead. It was Brother Andrew, known as God's smuggler, for smuggling books into communist countries during the Cold War, who said, "God does not choose people because of their ability, but because of their availability." I discovered these words a number of years ago, although I can't remember where I found them, but they remind us of the type of people God has called from looking at Scripture. They were prompted by words of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things, and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him." The passage is entitled, "Do you seriously think God can't use you?" Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair and was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David had an affair and was a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious. Timothy had an ulcer. Lazarus was dead. All through Scripture, God calls the most unlikely of people. And his son Jesus, during his earthly ministry, calls those who go and proclaim his word, not because they will be great someday, but rather because there is a need for them. In our scripture reading, Jesus sees the helpless crowds around him, and he has compassion on them. They were like sheep without a shepherd. He also has compassion on us, and he does not leave them or us as sheep without a shepherd. And the people God sends aren't always as good as we want them to be. Maybe some of them don't have the best attitude. Maybe some of them don't have good social graces. Maybe some of them rub us up the wrong way. Maybe some of them are too petrified of failure to even try some things. Maybe some of them are broken in ways that are extremely inconvenient. Maybe some of them have no clue what they're supposed to do next. And it is probably true that all of them will fail in some way. There's something incredible about being called by name, being identified, being known, being brought into a new situation or a new phase of life that is just for you, because you are called by your name. No two calls are ever the same. Moses was called from the midst of a burning bush. A call can emerge in the stillness of the night, as when God called to the young Samuel, and in so doing set him on a path to being one of the great prophets of the Old Testament. Calls can even come from the heavenly visitors, as when the angel appeared before the young Mary to tell her she was destined to become the mother of the Messiah. In today's Gospel, Jesus has called these 12 men to give them their marching orders. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. He has summoned them to embark on the next steps of their ministry. Admittedly, he is asking them to do things that seemed impossible, things that they surely thought were only in his power to accomplish. I wonder if there is a deep significance in the two verses in which the disciples are summoned and then a role is given of who they were. The 12 are specifically identified in this passage. I don't think it is stretching our interpretation of these verses to say that Jesus undoubtedly called them by name. We are all known to Christ. He has known our names since the beginning of time. As the writer of Jeremiah says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Peter, James and John, Matthew and Andrew, Thomas, before they ever encountered Jesus, he knew all of them. And he knows you and me. At your desks, in your gardens, wherever it is you are working, in more normal times setting up for coffee after church, or serving lunches in the undercroft, or preparing the worship space, helping friends with shopping or caring for family. In every experience we have, in every task we perform, in all we do, Jesus is there. In our joy and in our sorrow, he is walking beside us. In our waking and in our sleeping, he is watching over us. He is calling our names. He is calling us to the same work of his disciples. He's inviting us to share a journey with him and to invite others to share in that journey. But more than calling, we are challenged by this passage to consider what the church's larger response should be to the troubles in the world. What do we do in answer to the calls for help we are getting? One of the wonderful things about the situation we find ourselves in at present are the marvellous ways which people have found to be the church outside of the familiar sanctuary and being the church in community in even more ways than we did before. In a word, it is mission, a mission on which we are sent by the Lord of the harvest. And what is the mission God has for us? To be the face of a loving God, presented to those who may never have seen or experienced God in their lives. Someone has put it this way regarding mission in these days, as the church seeks to adapt to new opportunities for mission. Are you hungry? Let us feed you. Are you struggling through a great difficulty? Let us minister to you. Are you cold and tired? Let us offer you shelter. And despite the limitations of not being able to be face to face, churches have responded in a wonderful way. We can find ways of addressing in new ways the needs of our neighbours and expanding the church's reach into the world. The harvest is plentiful, but the labourers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out labourers, to send you and me into his harvest. Amen.
Thank you. Let us pray. God of life-giving love, you meet us when and wherever we are. Not just on Sunday mornings in a grand church building, but here and now, in our hearts and in this moment. We bring our prayers to you now, prayers for others, for ourselves, and for our community of faith, as we try to live out our commitment as your disciples.
God of compassion, we weep with those who weep, with those who have lost someone special, with those who are in pain, with those who are anxious. We take a moment to bring them to you by name. May they know your healing touch.
God of justice, when we hear the cry, "I can't breathe," let us not turn away, but face the full reality of injustice, inequality, and cruelty. May we make space for different voices and different viewpoints, and work together to remake communities of trust and compassion.
God of wisdom, we give thanks for those who care, who heal, who feed, who teach, who share. And we hold up to you in prayer those in power, that they may become the leaders we need for this time of recovery and renewal.
God of the journey, as lockdown eases, may we reflect on how we are all changed. We cannot go back to normal, but only forward in faith. So keeping you at the heart of all we think, say, and do, be with us as we step into the world in your service. Amen.
The benediction. Please join me in the words in bold print. We go as individuals to serve as God calls us into a world in need of his co-workers. We go as a community to serve as God calls us as living witnesses to the kingdom values of right relations. We go as the people of God to be stewards of his generous giving and to reflect his triune love in all we do and say.